Homes are appreciating. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And how does appreciation affect you?
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And this is Indy's Real Estate Gurus. Today, we're going to talk about appreciation. And there's appreciation, there's depreciation, there's lots of area here to talk about. Before we do that, though, we're going to go over the numbers. And my board, the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors, has brought out the numbers for June of 2022. So we're going to kind of look at, we are going to look at how they were in June, how that stacks up to May. And a lot of this is really important because if you are out there listening to the media, there is a media that loves negativity. I guess not a media, the whole media. And they are really beating on that we're seeing a slowdown in housing, that housing is going to collapse, that the home market's going to get worse. So I want to help dispel that with facts, not with their feelings about what they think or the fact that they just want to scare us all so that you will listen to them and watch what they have to say and read what they have to say. So with that, we're going to start on the median sale price in June of 2022. And this is in the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors area. I don't know the exact number of different areas that are in that, but I believe it's all the surrounding counties. It's like Bartholomew, Boone, Brown, Decatur, Hamilton, Hancock, Hendricks, Jackson, Jennings, Johnson, Madison, Marion, Montgomery, Morgan, Putnam, and Shelby County. So it's
I thought you didn't know them all.
I didn't. I had a note. Well, I'm getting old. You keep telling me that, so I better, I have to have my notes.
Hey. That's what notes are all for.
That is what they're for. So $300,000 was the median sale price for June of 2022. That's up 3.8% month over month. So what was it in May?
In May, we were up 4.6, but the average median price was 287.
So we went up.
We went up.
We went up again.
Yes.
All right. Now they're telling us that the market is falling apart. Our median sales price went up.
Yeah.
I mean, even with increase in interest rates.
Increase in interest rates and inflation. I mean, people are still willing to spend to get their house.
Yep.
Is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Now, how about another area that you would think would be if we're in a housing crisis or nearing a housing crisis, closed sales. You would think that we would have not only would our median price have gone down, but closed sales would have gone down, correct? Yep.
And we had the exact opposite.
Yeah, we were up 9.2% month over month for June of 2022. 3,711 homes closed. How does that compare to May?
May, we were at 3,300. So we closed on roughly another 400 houses.
Yes, crazy. Yep. And they're telling us that we're in a market that is falling apart. Now, average days on market. Now, this month we're at 14 days on market. That's a increase of 7.7%, but it's a
increase of 1 day.
Last
month we were at 13 days. So, and the month before that it was at 15. So, is it really a big issue? 13 to 15, 14.
No,
it's basically all the same number.
Compared to historic?
Yeah. I mean, because historic, it was months.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, if you can sell your house in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think they say a healthy market is 60 days.
Okay.
I may be a little off there, but that's a healthy market. Let's compare that. Back in 2008, there were homes that sat on the market for over a year.
Oh, I believe it. That was a really bad time.
It was a very bad time. But that's what they're comparing us to. Mm-hmm. We've been at phenomenal numbers, and then they want to compare, which we'll talk about a little bit later, they want to compare numbers. I mean, it's just not even the same market, but that's how you scare people. Months inventory, this is another one that months inventory back then was like 9, 10, 11 months of inventory. June, it was 0.9. How does that compare to?
In May, it was 0.7.
Right.
So,
and what happens every year? That increase happens every single year.
Yeah.
When you look back, it happens every year. Why? Because more houses come on the market right then. But more houses came on the market, more houses sold, and the builders are still putting specs on there that haven't even started yet, which hurts a lot of these numbers, and yet our numbers are still unbelievably strong. And then the active versus sold, the price range, all that stayed, you know, pretty much where it was. It got a little better all in all. Not really something we is easy to talk about without actually seeing the numbers. But that is the difference between what we saw in May and June, and also what we saw as a difference between 2008, when everything fell apart, to 2022. Now, there's some additional insight we wanted to talk about. The listings numbers. What do you have those handy?
The new listings for this is 4,925. I mean, that is up from 4,249. So basically, it's 700 more houses are listed.
Right, which is exactly what we're talking about. That's what happens this time of year. That's exactly what happens. It's what was expected. So if there's media out there trying to say, oh, look at this, that's not a negative, especially when you look at how fast we sold our houses and how many homes we sold in June. Another number that we should probably look at is the active inventory. And I think this goes to kind of what we talked about too. I want to talk about the active inventory because I think if there's people out there thinking, you know, maybe have given up looking for a new home, maybe have, you know, said, no, this just isn't working. Because of the increase in listings, what's happened to our active inventory?
The active inventory is going to go, active inventory has gone up quite a bit in 1 month.
Yeah, 47.3% up.
Yeah, basically we were at 2,300 last month. Now we're at 3,400. So basically 1,100 houses in the new active inventory.
Right.
So, I mean, what that your buyers are pretty consistent right now on how many people are trying to look for a home. So, but if you put more homes out there, the amount of people going to be bidding on that one home might drop a little bit, which helps out a lot because you go from bidding against 20 people to bidding against 10 or 11, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference. But it's a big difference in the amount of people out there. And they're not a huge difference really, but it doesn't matter because there's still more people looking for homes than are homes on the market.
Yep.
So we're still seeing over, 52% sold for higher than list price?
Correct.
We're selling houses in 14 days compared to 65, 70 days. We're selling homes at the high at a high median price. Our inventory months is 0.9 in our area. I mean, these are tremendous numbers. We believe these numbers will go down some. That make it, in other words, it's going to soften some. We don't believe that the market's going to go the other way.
Correct.
Right?
I mean, it's going to take for the market to go the other way. Basically, you'd have to have a genie and poof, there'd be 100 million homes available right now. I mean, there's what the issue is supply and demand.
Right. And why do we have a lack of supply?
Because the builders have stopped making as many houses or over
stopped building homes, right?
Like years ago. This is something
after 2008.
Yep. It's been in the works for a long time. And now it finally caught up. Because once the baby boomers had kids, we talked about this, they reached 30. Now they've started reaching that 33-year age where that's the average that somebody buys a new home.
Right.
Well, guess what? They were not ready for this. And then when we dropped the rates and everybody wanted to buy homes, you know, no matter what age you were in, people were like, this is the time to do it. So then those houses that were there just flashed off
right
in a blink of an eye. And now we're going to be recovering for this for a while.
Right, because we built three, I think the last number I saw was somewhere around 3 million less homes than what we actually needed. The number of families has increased since 2008 to 2022, 13 million mm-hmm. nationwide. So we have a huge lack of inventory, and we're going to have a lack of inventory for quite some time. So it's very difficult to see how this market is going to get really soft. The other thing that's happening is we've talked a little bit about inflation. We should probably talk about that just a tad. Inflation was super hot and is still super hot, and it's going to get hotter. It's not going down. It's going to get worse because they do it year over year, and the numbers for the next 3 months a year ago were very low.
Yep. And it was like 0.4, 0.3, and I think 0.5 or something like that.
And what did it come in?
Recently came in at 9.1.
Yes, and it was 1.2 increase for the month?
Yep.
Okay, they are okay with 2% increase for the year. A year ago, 2 years ago, we were only increasing at 1.2 for the entire year. We had that in the month. In the month. That is crazy, and that people will look at that. Now, that's inflation is going to create, and all of the indicators are showing that we're in a recession, but all the indicators are showing we are definitely going into a recession. No matter what the government wants to tell us, we're going into a recession.
Yeah.
And with that, what happens to housing prices?
Housing prices are going to go up.
Right.
And
generally, that's what we've seen. Historically, they go up. And what happens with mortgage rates?
They're going to go down.
That's what we see historically. So we can't say that, yes, this is what's going to happen, but we can certainly say if you look back at history, that's what happens pretty much every single time. So I think it's one of those things where we're actually in a very, very good market, very hot market, but we're also up against the break. So after the break, we're going to talk about the appreciation. We'll talk maybe a little bit about depreciation, how that affects people and how that affects, you know, what they might do with their homes.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And this is Indy's Real Estate Gurus. If you would have any questions for us about mortgages, want to look at refinancing, maybe you're looking to purchase a home, need a pre-approval, give us, contact us. You can go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And you can get all of our information there, and you can contact us from there.
Also, if you did miss our first 15 minutes of this and you would like to hear more or even the past ones, we do, we put all of our shows on our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus. And again, that's Indy's, and sometimes you got to put the apostrophe S, Real Estate Gurus. Or you can look under Rick Rittma or Ian Arnold.
Yep, almost shows up every time.
Yep. So now it is the question of the week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Debt Crusher Mortgage, improving your life by relieving the stress of debt. And again, this is what we do is consolidate your debt into your mortgage.
Right. Debt Crusher is a program that we offer.
We do. Yep. And we specialize it, and we help countless people in this. So if it's something you think you might be interested in, definitely give us a call.
And here's what I think is really the best piece of the program, or at least one of the very strong pieces of the program. It's really how we present it. It's the program that we have to put everything in there that a customer, a prospect, somebody looking at it, somebody looking to refinance can play with it. They have the ability to it's interactive, to change things so they can see how it would affect them and how it's going to affect their mortgage and their finances for quite some time.
Yep. All right, so last week's question is, what has one eye but can't see? A needle. I know that some people probably got that one. I think we got a couple emails on that. But so the new question is, what can you put in a pocket to make it put in a bucket to make it weigh less?
Yeah,
you guys can think on that one for 1 week.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So we're sitting here and we're talking. Mostly, you hear about all the appreciation in a home. So there are basically there's one type of appreciation because it's in price of home, but there are two types of people. So if you already have a home, Rick, and what does appreciation mean to somebody who already has a home?
Well, appreciation is how you build what we call equity, right? And it's also how you build wealth. When you hear people say, and I'm not saying this is 100% true, or it's not the only way to build wealth, but one of the ways to build wealth is to own real estate. In fact, if you think about it, let's look at the appreciation. Last year, 2021, in Indiana, our appreciation rate was 19%. Now, that doesn't mean every house increased by 19%. Some increased more, some increased less. But that was the average appreciation rate. So let's take that average appreciation rate. And let's say somebody has a home and it's $200,000 house. Now, a couple of things. Doesn't matter whether you have a mortgage on it or not. Appreciation is not affected by whether you owe anything on the home or how much you owe on the home. It just happens because it sits there and it gains value. So if you have a $200,000 home, it appreciated at 19% for a year. That's a $38,000 increase in your net worth. So your house went from $200,000 to $238,000 in value if you did the average increase of 19%. Now, you didn't have to do anything.
You had to live in your house.
Yeah, you didn't have to do anything you don't normally do, right? There's nothing.
Correct.
That just increased your net worth. If that continued to happen, it's incredible on what it would actually do for your wealth. And I did this on a $400,000 house because I thought it would be interesting. I used a 5% appreciation because I think 5% was what we averaged over time.
Yes, on regular months or regular years, and we'll get into more of this here in a little bit, is it's about an average of 5 here in Indiana.
Yeah, so 5%. So in a $400,000 home at 5%, after 1 year, the home's worth $420,000. So they made $20,000. After 2 years, it's $441,000. So now they're up $41,000. After 3 years, because this is compounding interest, after 3 years, it's $463,050. After 4 years, $486,202. And after 5 years, $510,500. Kind of reminds me of that story where the guy says, well, I don't remember what it was, but for a penny a day, if it's doubled every day, and I'll do it for 30 days. And after 30 days,
or you give me $1 million today.
Or you give me, and it's just worth so much money. So that's the number at 5%. Now we increased it 19%. So I did 20%. Mm-hmm. The first year, if you have a $400,000 home, so last year, if somebody increased just a tad higher than the average and they had a $400,000 home, a 20% increase took that home to $480,000. The second year, if we kept that 20%, would be $576,000. Third year would be $691,000. Fourth year would be $829,000. And the fifth year would be $995,000. A $400,000 house almost went to $1 million. Now, I did that because I wanted people to understand that that's why we can't continue to have 20% increases.
Yeah, I mean, that'd get outrageous. I mean, that would hit the whole cost of living to expensive. That would be a blow up to the market.
That would be really, I mean, that's what has happened in other areas. Let's take California. You can see that happen. But when that happens, you also see big times when you see big depreciation, because you can't, that things adjust. The 5%, you don't have much of an adjustment very often.
No.
In fact, I think you have some numbers on that for Indiana.
So basically, since 1992, it's been an average of about 5%. So now, once you hit about 2015, then it started going up. And lucky me, that's when I bought my house, was 2015. So I bought it at the right time. But I should have actually bought it a little earlier, because the depreciation actually did happen. And you were definitely in the market during this time. When I mean in the market, you were in the housing market sort of deal. So back in 08, when we had the big recession, even a little bit before that, what we saw was a small decline. And then in 2007, there was actually you actually depreciated in your house. But how much did you depreciate? Roughly -4%. Then in 2008, it went back up about 2%. Nothing great, but it offset the negative for a little bit. Then in 2009, it dropped again. This one was the highest drop we've seen in 30 years. -6.6.
And that was when?
In 09.
Okay.
So, and then in 2010, it went up another 2%. Then it dropped in 2011, again, for about another 3%. But then it went up. And you know what it's done since 2012? Up, 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 up. Even in 2018 was almost 10%, or 8.1. And then 2020, 8.1. I mean, so this has been going on for a little while. And the nice thing in three, so if you own a home in the last 30 years, it's only decreased three times. Out of 30 years, 27 years, you've increased.
Right.
So if you had a 30-year mortgage and you bought it in 92, you'd be sitting phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because to that point, I bought my home in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1990, I just looked at what I paid for it and what its value is approximately, and my home has increased by 286%.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
280. Now that's over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's,
but that's still
years,
a pretty good increase, and something you're just sitting in there living in anyway.
But if you're talking about creating wealth, that's what it goes to right then. So imagine you paid off your house in 15 years. How much, I mean, look at that wealth that you have there. The other thing that we definitely need to hit on is the appreciation, what it does for somebody.
Yes.
And we've seen this quite a bit. So when people who bought their house 2 or 3 years ago, guess what they did? They refinanced, because that appreciation allowed them to get rid of their mortgage insurance.
If they had it,
if they had their mortgage insurance, which is awesome. It also allowed them to do some renovations to their home.
Correct.
So especially last year, we saw this a lot where people couldn't go on vacations. So they were like, hey, let's refinance. We'll do a cash out. And mommy wants a new kitchen. Let's get her a new kitchen. And so they did a cash out refinance. So this appreciation, when you have a home, that's what is able to help you with.
Right. So they got out of mortgage insurance.
Yes.
Some people. Some people did both. They were able, it went up so much, they got out of mortgage insurance, and they were able to do some cash out to pay to do some improvements on their home. Some people refinanced their house, which they're still doing today, paid off debt.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a lot of ways, and those aren't even the only ones, but those are ways that you can use the equity to your benefit, especially as houses continue to increase. What has the increase been this year?
It's what, 12%? Or no,
it's higher than that.
Yeah,
it's almost like 20%.
Yeah, it's
close. Yeah, it's ridiculously high. Again,
the other thing that they don't get into too much is what has it done for foreclosures? Because it's decreased by dramatically. People aren't foreclosing on their homes. They're just, hey, look, I fell on hard times, I'll just sell it. So you don't see as if foreclosures were like 0.5% or something like that, I saw. And I was like, wow, that's actually, and it dropped dramatically because with that appreciation recently, people can just sell their homes.
Yeah. And I think back in 2008, and I'd probably be a little off, but it was like 5 to 8 times that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 3.8%.
Yep.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right. So what would you do for appreciation? Does it have an effect for people looking to buy a home?
It does. What you have to look at is, here's the hard part of appreciation when you're looking at a home. You're looking at a home and you see what it, especially a 20% increase in value. You look at a home, somebody might have paid for it a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and what they're asking for it today. And that can be a problem for people mentally. Although it's not an accurate comparison. What it was worth 3 years ago doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it doesn't relate.
Correct. It's like your house, right, that you were just talking about. You bought your house in 1990. Does that a price affect anything to now?
No, it doesn't, and it shouldn't, but it does mentally.
Yes, mentally, when you see it, when you're looking, you do see it, you're like, wow, yeah. They did this. I mean, yeah. Even when I bought my house, the realtor was like, hey, look, when we were going back and we were haggling and all that stuff, the realtor actually pulled up. He goes, this is how much money this guy made on it. And I was like, oh, okay. And for my instance, they were just trying to get rid of the house, so they only made like $3,000. So I was like, okay, whatever. And called it a day. But yeah, sometimes it hits you hard. Man, they just made $100,000.
Right. But in reality, that has nothing to do with it.
It has nothing
to do with
you.
What you should look at is go, okay, and this is the other piece of it, is you look at it and you go, okay, that I have to pay more. But if it continues to increase, let's say it stops. It increases at 5%. We talked about those numbers. An increase of 5% a year adds up.
Yep. And the sooner you do it, the sooner it starts helping you.
Exactly.
Because if you wait, guess what you don't get? You don't get that appreciation. You're going to pay that appreciation when you go to buy the house. That's what you don't think of. So if, like, we use that 5%, if you waited 3 years to purchase a home because you're waiting for something to happen, you're going to be paying 15% more than
even
what you
were.
Even
more than that because of compounds.
Yep. Or you could have 15% more equity in your house because you already bought it.
Right. And if you're renting, I mean, that's just where you are. Yep. You know, you're spending the money. You might as well buy a house. This is the market is good. Our numbers show that it's way up in an increase in value. So appreciation is really there. If you own a home, it's your friend for sure. Well, we're running out of time. So we do appreciate you joining us. I'm Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And if you would like to contact us, have any questions, please, you know, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And next week, we're going to talk about how do you qualify for a mortgage. We're also going to, you know, talk about when should you consider refinancing. And then, you know, how much should you save for a down payment? These things are some of the common questions people are asking today. And we want to go over those questions and really help you understand the mortgage and how everything works. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.